It's now time for Talking Boxing with Billy C. It began as a podcast, went live on the net, and transformed into a full-blown empire. It's the only daily boxing talk show on the planet, hosted by the only guy with the balls to do it. Many have stepped into the ring. Many have tried to take the belt. And one by one, they've fallen. Another victim of the undisputed heavyweight champion of Boxing Talk Radio. Talking Boxing with Billy C is on now.
My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart.
And we're coming to you live from the Billy C Studios in Lake George, New York. I'm Bill Caligiuri. It's time for the Billy C Show. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you listen, I hope you're doing all right. Special shout out to all of our Fight TV viewers. And if you don't have Fight TV, how about downloading our app so you can watch us on Fight TV on your cell phone, on your handheld device, on your tablet, whatever. Just go to Fight. And by the way, that's spelled F-I-T-E. Go to fight.tv/Billy C and download the Fight TV app right now. Do it. And then you'll be able to watch some other programming, not only on a daily basis, but also all the big pay-per-views available on Fight TV at discount prices. So check it out. Download our app today, fight.tv/Billy C. Today's show is being brought to us in part by Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria and Italian Restaurant, located on beautiful St. Simon's Island in Georgia. Special shout out to our WGIG listeners over in Brunswick. And you need to stop by Sal's. He's on Federica Drive, that is. Check out Sal's website for the address and all the other information, www.salsneighborhoodpizzeria.com, or give my man a call, 912-268-2328, and find out why I travel all the way to St. Simon's to get my pizza. And you guys know, I know a thing or two about pizza. I'm a fat bastard. We know those things. Sal'sNeighborhoodPizzeria.com. Today's show is also being brought to us in part by Gawk Box. What is it? Hey, it's something that'll help you out and it'll help us out. So check it out. Visit our website, BillyCBoxing.com, and click on the Gawk Box banner, which is located on the left-hand side. And today's show is being brought to us in part by my book, Tom Molineaux, From Bondage, The Baddest Man on the Planet, is available right now where all great books are sold. And you can get a copy of it right now while you're watching or listening to the show by visiting BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. Now, if you want to get a signed copy, don't worry about it. I'll hook you up. Just visit our website, BillyCBoxing.com, and click the book club section. Now, speaking of our website, you're going to notice some changes very soon on the website, and it's going to be real easy to get the book, to get to all of our contributors, to get to the show, to watch it on your handheld. All those things are happening as we move forward with all of the improvements that we're making here on the show. So today, what I'd like to really talk about, we got a bunch of emails to read and all that stuff. But one of the things I really want to talk about, a lot of discussion, people are emailing me and talking to me on the streets. And they're asking me, the topic that they're always talking to me about is Triple G against Canelo. Is it going to happen? You know, why is Triple G, you know, is he going to fight Billy Joe Saunders? You know, is he going to fight Canelo? Is he going to wait till September to fight Canelo? You know, we've talked about this a lot. And to be honest with you, I think that, you know, at this point, even though Canelo happens to be the bigger draw, I think that Triple G is in the driver's seat. And I've said this all along. Canelo's in a tough fight in the beginning of May. Listen, I strongly suggest that people don't think that he's going to walk all over Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. I don't know. It's a big topic. And let's get my man's opinion. Joining me right now from St. Simon's Island, my man. He's a New Jersey Boxing Hall of Famer. He's a Guinness Book of World Record holder. And he's a restaurateur, too. Please welcome Sal Rocky Senecola. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, Bill. How are you today, pal?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I've got my favorite cup of coffee, and I'll be chugging this as we do the show. Maybe get a refill on a break.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe fill up, what do you got, a gas pump that's got coffee in it or what?
Absolutely. High test, you know.
Yeah, we got to work on your sound, my man. You're a little muffled today, but don't touch anything now. We will work on it. We'll deal with it the way it is now. But anyway, you know, that's the big topic of today, Sal, is Canelo against Triple G. It appears to me that not only are the fans, but even Canelo himself seem to be looking past the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight and immediately are beginning to discuss the possibility and the realization that Canelo and Triple G will be fighting most likely in September. What's your thoughts on this? I mean, for a couple of questions. First and foremost, should Triple G wait till September to fight Canelo? And let's be real. You know, by him waiting, he's putting all his eggs in the bet. No pun intended on Easter weekend, but he's putting all his eggs in one basket, assuming, like most others, that Canelo's going to beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And you and I have been talking off the air extensively about this, and the closer this fight is getting, and the more I see Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and the apparent dedication that he is putting in for this particular fight, I don't think there's a layup fight for Canelo, and I really think that maybe Triple G should go after Billy Joe Saunders first, and then providing he win and Canelo wins, then talk about a matchup. What's your thoughts on all?
You know, I'll tell you, you hit it on the head. You know, if we're looking at the strategies here with all the camps involved, as I said, with Triple G's performance, his last two fights, his performances, you know, they're seeing flaws. They're seeing that he's not this superhuman beast beater. I mean, they see things that can be exposed. Whether it's valid or not, he's going to have more opponents coming out of the woodwork willing to fight him. And now we see Canelo Alvarez is maybe touting his and pounding his chest, saying, hey, I'm going to fight Triple G as well. I would like to see Triple G fight Saunders just to get that belt, unify it, and then maybe fight Canelo Alvarez. If Canelo Alvarez could get past Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., which I don't think he is going to have a layup. It's a very dangerous opponent and a good fight. I think, you know, if we look at some of the fights of Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. in the past, you know, there has been some of those inconsistencies. Now, if he's putting on the blinders, if he realizes this is a real make-or-break fight for him, and I think he's going to come in there willing to go mano de mano and surprise Canelo and a lot of Canelo supporters, because this guy can bang to the body, and he's not going to have to run to look for Canelo Alvarez. Alvarez likes that same kind of fight.
Yeah, I've said all along that, you know, Canelo's biggest weakness is he needs to stand in front of his opponent to inflict the maximum damage, and that's going to be perfect for Chavez. I know Canelo's going to be able to land punches. Chavez has a granite chin, and I don't think Canelo has that, you know, one-punch devastating knockout power, which he would need. But again, you know, Chavez has the chin and works the body very well. So I don't know, man. You know, if I'm Triple G, you know, one of the things that he has mentioned throughout his career, really, or at least since he's been a champ, that he wanted all the belts. And the one belt that he does not have yet is the WBO belt. And I think that, you know, even from a business perspective, you know, I know, you know, one side of the coin is, you know, try and make the maximum amount of money for the least amount of effort, which would, you know, equate to bypass Billy Joe Saunders and go right to the Canelo fight. But I also think that in this particular case, should Triple G fight Billy Joe Saunders and pick up that belt. Now he's undisputed. He has all the belts in the division. And I think that might add to his bargaining power when it comes to the negotiation table for Canelo Alvarez. I mean, what do you think?
Well, you and I have said it all along. I think Canelo Alvarez needs this fight with Triple G more than Triple G needs this fight for Canelo Alvarez. And I think that it would be his dream come true. Yes, he should fight Billy Joe Saunders and collect that belt, I would think, in my humble opinion. There's part of his legacy. And then a stellar fight with Canelo Alvarez and topping off a career with a victory there would be a way to sign him off. I mean, let's be realistic. How many more fights do we think Triple G may have in him? He's not the youngest fighter out there right now. Could he have 3-4 good fights left in him? Maybe. Maybe that at most. I don't know. I'm not one to judge or decide, but, you know, we will definitely see what's ahead. But I would like to see him fight Billy Joe Saunders, get that belt, and I'd love to see him fight Canelo Alvarez all before the end of this year. It would be phenomenal.
Yeah, well, fighters don't do that anymore, Sal. But anyway, we got some email that I want to read, some emails I want to read. But first, some other news that I just wanted to mention real quick. Golden Boy signed a promotional agreement with Jezreel Corrales, who's the WBA super featherweight champ. Corrales is one of these fighters that, you know, Lomachenko had his eye on and didn't seem to want to fight, or maybe didn't have the right promotional team behind him. So now it's going to be interesting to see if Golden Boy pursues that fight. It's obviously a money fight, unification fight, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see about that. Another thing in the news is Keith Thurman calling out Manny Pacquiao, you know, saying that, you know, he feels kind of slighted because a lot of the experts have Manny Pacquiao ranked and or rated above Keith Thurman. He says, I want to fight, Manny Pacquiao. You know, he also talked about the Danny Garcia fight and said that he wouldn't mind doing a rematch with that, you know. But, you know, the funny thing about this, Sal, and we've talked about it when we bring up Manny Pacquiao, you know, Keith Thurman calling out Manny Pacquiao, you know, this is the problem with Manny Pacquiao hanging on. You know, if he's going to fight a guy, you know, and he wants to be the main guy in the division, then quite honestly, he does have to fight a guy like Keith Thurman. You know, if his plan was to try to just garner get a rematch with Floyd Mayweather, well, then he needs to actively pursue that. And if Floyd has no interest, then maybe walk away, because he can't continue doing what he's doing, going after the Jeff Horns and the less than stellar opposition. I wouldn't mind seeing him against Thurman. I mean, you know, I think Manny's well past his prime, and we're not going to see the best Manny, but it would be a good notch for Keith Thurman. What do you think?
I think you're right, and like I said, you know, there's only one fight to see Manny Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather, and that's to fight each other in a rematch. I don't see why Manny Pacquiao would hang on or want to fight a lesser of an opponent, or be an opponent for a Keith Thurman or somebody else. That's not the way he should end it. But, you know, each fighter has his own destiny that he can help mold and shape, and he's got to be careful in what he picks and how he chooses and what he wants to do.
We got some emails to read, but first let me get people caught up on Major League Baseball scores. The Twins topped the Tigers 11-5. The Red Sox in an interleague game against the Pirates squeaked out a win 4-3. The Cubbies blanked the Dodgers 4-0. The Rangers beat the Angels 8-3. The White Sox beat the Tribe, the Indians, 10-4. The Yankees won over the Tampa Bay Rays 3-2. The Orioles beat the Blue Jays 2-1. The Brewers over the Reds 5-1. We had the Royals beating the A's 3-1, I should say. The Rockies beat the Giants 3-1. And my Mets, in a 16-inning game that was, you know, Major League Baseball wants to have more offense, without the steroids. And, man, did they get it with the Mets and Marlins game last night. The Mets beat the Marlins 9-8 in 16 innings. Wow. It was 29 total hits between the two teams. The Marlins jumped out to a 4-0 lead, and then the Mets came right back and scored four runs in the top of the second to tie the game. Yoenis Cespedes had not one but two home runs, back-to-back multi-home run games. Wilmer Flores had a home run, and Travis d'Arnaud hit the game-winning home run in the 16th inning. The Mets had a total of four home runs with their offensive show that ended late last night. So congrats to the Mets that keep winning, Sal. And hey, maybe we will have a Subway Series. You never know.
Yeah, never know. We'll see.
Sort of like your microphone. You never know if it's going to work, if it's going to be hooked up. But let's get some emails out the way. This first one is from Jesse. He says, hey, Billy C and Sal, my picks for the weekend. I got Indungo winning over Ricky Burns via a split decision. I got Barrera knocking out Parker. And I think Burns versus the Indungo fight is going to be a hard-fought technical fight. But Indungo should use his movement and speed to come out on top. He says, what's your thoughts on Jezreel Corrales signing with Golden Boy? Do you think Golden Boy will get him the big fights, or will they cuddle him? I don't think they're going to. I mean, he's an established fighter. I mean, he's already got a world title. I'm anticipating that he signed with Golden Boy so he could get the big fights. I mean, what do you think, Sal?
I think, you know, why not? That's a good promotional outfit, and he's going to get some bigger fights. He'll have a good promoting team behind him looking for it. That's it.
Also, he says, I read that Easter and Shakirov is made. Interesting fight, but Easter is too long and technical for Shakirov. Yeah, Robert Easter Jr., you know, I don't know. You know, he looked good in his last couple of fights, but prior to that, he really hadn't fought anybody. I'm interested in the fight. You know, we'll see what kind of adjustments Shakirov can make with the height and reach advantage that Easter will have. He says, hey, Billy and Sal, why is it different to run outside rather than on machines in a gym? Can you do both? What's your reason to saying it's not the same? I run outside. I feel better outside, but running on machines is much better on your joints. I'd rather run outside because it feels like there's more resistance and therefore your body gets worked out better. But sometimes I run on machines too to relieve joint pain. You know, that's an interesting question. Thanks for the email, Jesse. And, you know, obviously Sal's going to have some thoughts on that. But let me just say this before I pass it to Sal. You know, I've been just saying that for a long time. You know, today, the complexity of trainers and specialized training techniques and stuff, thanks to technology, you know, we've been able to focus on getting the cardio that people assume you're getting from just running and doing it in a safer manner, okay? Jesse mentions with not as much wear and tear, the pounding on your joints and so on and so forth. However, from what I understand, and obviously Sal's going to have more of a hands-on opinion than I do, but the deal about running outside is things change. You know, the terrain is different. You might have to dodge a pothole. You might have to, jump over a dead squirrel or something. You might have to avoid a broken stick, or sometimes the weather is different. And it makes you work out and, you know, come up with things that aren't constant. For example, if you're going to run on a treadmill, you know, you set the treadmill for at a certain elevation or whatever, that elevation's the same. So in a sense, yeah, you're getting cardio, but you're not getting the other benefits from running outside. I personally believe that the best thing fighters do, and I say it all the time, would be to run outside. Now, if you want to do both, that's okay. You know, that's okay. But your initial, you know, 5-mile run should be outside. Sal, what's your thoughts on this? I know you were old school trainer, but, you know, with today, today with all the technology. Am I wrong to suggest that fighters should run outside rather than, you know, use a bike or a treadmill?
No, I you know, it's a personal question. I mean, personal answer, preference too. We were the old school. You know, you fight like you train like you fight. Now, for conditioning purposes, in the realm of boxing, in the ring of boxing, you have to condition your aerobic and your anaerobic. The aerobic is a sustained condition over a period of time where it's almost like a jog or a level of this. But your anaerobic are the sprints, are the combinations, are the moving and going around the ring. That's the burst of energy used and the conditioning with the lungs and the body and the absorption of the oxygen and the red blood cells. And, you know, so you can get that a lot of ways. I mean, it's doing sprints, it's doing intervals, it's doing things. But, you know, I remember when we were fighting and training on the old Army boxing team, you know, we would do a sprint hitting the heavy bag. We'd go 30 seconds, boom, 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 or a minute. And you could actually condition yourself that way too. And there are some consequences. When I tore my rotator cuff 2 weeks before my comeback fight because I tripped over a root in a sidewalk running at night like an idiot. And yeah, I said that. I'm an idiot for doing that. I sprawled out and bam, complete rip on my super or whatever it's called. But anyway, that's what happened. If I was on a treadmill, it wouldn't have happened. If I was swimming, it wouldn't have happened. But there are variables when you run outside. But those variables are also good. You use it to your advantage. Yeah, as you said, you jump over potholes. You have an all-terrain. You're running in the dirt. You're running on trails. You're running in the woods. I love all that. And part of that is the aesthetics and everything else. And you're changing on a dime the conditions. So I'm a proponent of running outside. But a fighter has to be careful because you're running for boxing. You're not running for running. And you fight like you train like you fight, get your aerobic and your anaerobic conditioning in, and you'll be able to go those 12 rounds. I was almost going to say 15 rounds.
We got another email. This one's from my man Johnston. He says, good morning, guys. I just wanted to know your thoughts on Triple G's apparent change of heart now to wait until September for a showdown with Canelo instead of facing Billy Joe Saunders. The rumor is Triple G and his management appear more interested in putting their energy into getting the bigger payday against Canelo rather than taking another fight before that big mega fight. With Canelo now admitting that he will stay at 160 pounds for the foreseeable future, he will either take the fight or duck Triple G. Look, I'm not a current world champion at middleweight. He's saying a quote now from Alvarez. He says, look, I'm not a current world champion at middleweight. I have been in the past, but I'm not now. As far as the weight after this fight, I'm not looking past this fight. I'm focused 100% on this one, but I'm now staying at middleweight. I'll stay at 160. He says he's focused, but I don't know. Anyway, Johnston says, I think Triple G needs to stay busy and forget about waiting for Canelo fight to happen. What's your thoughts on this? Do you think Triple G is making a big mistake, or is he right to rest after Abel Sanchez admitted that he was feeling sore after his 12-rounder with Jacobs? What has he got to rest 6 months? I mean, come on, man. I said already, I think that, you know, Triple G should collect that last belt, puts him in a different bargaining situation. And, you know, you can't assume that Saul Canelo Alvarez is going to have an easy fight against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. I'm sorry. I have this really strange feeling that Chavez Jr. Is going to have the fight of his career. I really do. I think Canelo is underestimating, and so is everyone else, Jr. I really do. What do you think, Sal? You think that Triple G should fight the Saunders fight, or you think he should wait and rest and try to be at his best for a possible showdown with Canelo in September?
I think Triple G, his intent would be he'll be at his best no matter when and who he fights. That's just the way he goes at it. That's the way you have to rise to the occasion every time. And being said, how many more times can this one fighter rise to the occasion and be at his all-time best? We don't know. Does he have 3 or 4 fights maybe in him? Maybe. But the bottom line is, I think part of his legacy would be, hey, let's collect all these belts. I said I wanted to do that. That was my goal. And beat Billy Joe Saunders and collect that last belt and then go to the bargaining table and see. Let's see if Canelo Alvarez gets past Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Tell you what, smart money. I'm putting some money in Vegas on Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
At the odds he's getting, I think it's a smart bet. Joel says, hey, guys, I want the official Billy C and Sal picks on the three fights scheduled for this weekend. Bivol Clarkson, Burns Indongo, and Barrera Parker. He's got some other things, too. First and foremost, the Clarkson-Bivol fight is a tough one. And the reason I say this is because Bivol, really, we haven't seen him here that much. And he hasn't really been that tested. And I feel the same for Clarkson. As far as my official pick, I do think it's a close fight. But I'm going to lean towards Bivol on this one. What do you think, Sal?
Yeah, I think I feel the same way. I think Bivol's going to be able to speak it out, and we'll see what happens there. It'd be a good fight.
Well, Clarkson, I think, has more flash. He's bigger and stuff, but I don't know. I like Bivol in it. The other fight, as far as Burns versus Indongo, I know we had a previous email from Jesse who's picking Indongo in a close split decision win. Ricky Burns is not the same Ricky Burns that he was, although sometimes he really puts it all together and wins when the pressure's on him and people think that he doesn't have a chance. And Jesse's not the only one that feels that Indongo is going to win this fight. I just think that Burns is going to squeak it out. I think he's going to get the nod. I think it may even be a controversial decision, but I'm going with Burns on this one. Any thoughts on this? Did you get a chance to look at this fight, Sal?
No, I'm going to try and look at this fight and see what we could do to bring it up on a TV in a restaurant, and I'll be there with my score pad.
Well, you might be able to get it on Fight TV if you download the app, our app. So go to fight.tv/BillyC and download the app, and you'll be able to watch it. But, it's not going to be on regular TV. And finally, the Barrera versus Parker fight. Listen, this is a no-brainer. Sullivan Barrera is going to beat Parker. I mean, it's a shame that Barrera, is not fighting Beterbiev. I mean, that was the fight that was supposed to take place, and instead he's fighting Parker. I think it's a shot in the face, really, to HBO. I know it's going to be on HBO Latino, but I don't even think this fight will be that competitive. I'm picking Sullivan Barrera on this one. Thoughts from you, Sal?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Barrera as well. I think he's going to oust Parker and do it convincingly.
Some other questions that my man Joel has. He says, I was curious to get your thoughts on the Eli Manning memorabilia fraud situation. I know you're a Jets fan, so you probably enjoy hearing something bad about the Giants. First of all, this allegedly took place in 2010. So we're talking 7 years ago, because I would say to myself, what the hell is Eli thinking about? I mean, he doesn't need to make a couple of bucks from a memorabilia thing unless he was doing a favor for somebody. And basically the story goes that, Eli Manning told the equipment manager, the Giants equipment manager, to grab a couple of helmets, and they're going to pass them along to a memorabilia dealer saying that they were actual helmets that were worn, even though they weren't. And basically the cat was let out of the bag, and some emails were turned over by Eli Manning that pretty much backs up the allegations that he knew about it and knowingly committed fraud. And there's a lawsuit that's going to take place not only against Eli Manning and the agent that was involved, but also the Giants, the owner of the Giants, and the equipment guy. So I just don't understand. I mean, especially younger people today, Sal, they're in a world where, you're not hiding nothing. You miss a payment on a bill and it's on your report, your record, forever, So, I mean, what makes somebody think that they're going to, do something and get away with it? The other thing is, if you are going to do something, I'm not suggesting you should do something that's maybe not on the up and up, but if you are, I got a little advice for you. Do a couple of things. Take a couple of precautions. Like, number one, don't leave a paper trail through email. Number two, don't pay with your credit card and have a paper trail there. And number three, don't tell anybody. Never admit anything. I mean, come on, Sal. What do you think?
Billy, I mean, you're giving them all a handbook, you know? I'll tell you. What a tangled web we all weave. I mean, there was no need for all that to go past. I mean, the guy could have worn a helmet for one game and passed it out, and it would have been better to exchange him. You know, how many helmets did he go through the season? I have no idea. But the bottom line is, yeah, there was fraud involved. And, you know, like I said, what a tangled web we all weave. And he should not have had to do that. And this whole incident should not be on the surface as it is today.
Yeah, well, you know what? Take precautions, boys and girls. One last question from...
The Billy C. handbook of getting around the rules. No, I forgot about it.
It's not the rules. I'm just saying... let's just refer to it as old school. Let's just leave it at that.
Old school.
Joel says, lastly, when will you do the next post-fight show? Will you do one for Joshua Klitschko at the end of the month, even though it will be early evening when it ends? Yeah, of course we're going to be doing a post-fight show for Joshua Klitschko. We're also going to be doing one next week for Sean Porter and Andre Berto. So we'll have that one, and then we'll follow that with the Klitschko fight against Joshua. Hey, listen, any fight card that's getting 240,000 U.S. or 200,000 pounds for ringside seats for the sold out 90,000 seats sold out for this fight. Anybody that's forking over, you know, over 200,000 U.S. dollars for a seat, you don't think it's an important fight? I mean, come on, of course we're going to do a post fight on that one, right, Sal?
Absolutely.
We got some other news to talk about. One thing is the fight that's going to be taking place tonight with Samuel Clarkson. You know, he's pretty much telling everyone to bet the ranch on him. He says, I'm going to win and take Bivol's title away. So we'll have to wait and see. Remember, Bivol is one of these fighters that, yes, he's got the WBA interim. You know, the WBA is funny. You know, they say, oh, we're going to be combining all of our belts, and they still have these fights taking place. But Bivol's got the interim light heavyweight world title, and he's only got 9 fights under his belt, 9-0 with 7 knockouts, going up against Clarkson, who's 19-3 with 12 knockouts. But remember, the 3 fights that he has lost was against, opposition that were along the lines of Bivol, at least what we see. But one other thing I wanted to mention real quick, for the purse bid for the mandatory world featherweight title for the IBF between the champion Lee Selby and Jonathan Barrios, who's the mandatory challenger, went to purse bid, and here's the results. There were only 2 bidders, TGB Promotions and KO International. TGB Promotions won the bid by bidding $601,000, and they beat International KO International by $1,000. They bid $600,000. The way the IBF splits their purse, 75% of the purse bid will go to Selby, and the 25% goes to the challenger. The thing that I'm a little surprised here, Sal, is generally, I mean, when we see these purse bids, especially for the smaller weight classes, we don't see them as high as this. $600,000 is a substantial amount of money. That doesn't necessarily mean that's all the fighter is going to make. But $600,000 for a featherweight title, I'm not saying the guys aren't worth it, but it seems a little high to me based on some of the previous purse bids. What do you think?
Well, I think so, and we'll see where it all lands with these purse bids and everything else. It's a different world. Like I said, it's different. And there's always the underscore of what's going to be happening, and after the purse bid is realized, and things are still subject to change on a lot of levels.
I don't know, man. I think that championship fight, the purse bids are, I don't know, they're kind of crazy.
They're kind of crazy, you know. I don't know. Like I said, I'm still a proponent to reverse the clock, get things back in order, and give us 15 rounds of boxing for a championship fight, do a lot of things differently, you know. There's a reason why some fans are no longer following the game of boxing with the passion and with the fervor that they once did. Well, let's rewind and backtrack and see what all the steps that took place of unwinding the rituals or the consistencies that boxing did have. And let's maybe see if we can implement, put them back in place.
Well, you know what? I know it's a great idea, but it's very unlikely that any of the old school stuff will ever come back. I mean, I know people are always saying, how can we get boxing back to the way it used to be and blah, blah, blah. You can't get anything back to the way it used to be. So the best thing you can do is try to make the best of what we have and move forward in a positive direction. I mean, listen, you know, boxing and any other sport is never going to go back to the way it was in prior generations. All you can do, and it's the same thing in life, you know, you can't go back and change things that have taken place, but what you can do is change your life from this day forward. Same thing with boxing and other sports. If you want to change it, you change it from this day forward. You know, in a sense, boxing has gotten better, at least to kick off 2017. Now, there is some other news that I wanted to mention. It was reported that Spike TV, as well as ESPN, has kicked the PBC to the curb. You know, the PBC's model, which, you know, we've all, you know, taken guesses on what the plan is, Al Heyman, what his plan is, and he seems to go against it. I mean, if you recall real quick, he started out with a huge war chest full of money from outside investors. Not his money, boys and girls, but outside investors' money, and spent it all like a drunken sailor over, a year and a half period. And he bombarded us with fights on television, which was great. The issue here was that he paid for the time. And he also paid the fighters bigger purses than what fighters were getting. And, you know, everybody thought it was great. The fighters loved it. He collected 200-300 fighters under his promotional or whatever, you know, advisor contracts. But what's happened is he wasn't able to pick up the sponsorship dollars that you need to pay and keep these productions on. Now, remember, him paying ESPN and Spike TV and et cetera, of course, any network is going to put, programming on if they're being paid for that time. The way it used to work, ESPN produced and paid for the boxing. They would go and pay a promoter X amount of money to bring the fight, and then they would pick up the tab on their own and sell their own advertising and so on and so forth. What the PBC did was that they went a different route. They paid the network, and they were hoping that they could create a product that they could get advertising dollars to not only pay the outrageous purses, but also for the network. Now, that's thinking positive on Al Heyman. You could also look at the other side of the coin and say, well, Al Heyman had other people's money to play with, and he signed all these contracts, so he was putting all his fighters on these temporary basis on these networks, paying for it, and him getting his cut. So really, he spent everyone else's money, and he was still getting his cut. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know what his exact percentages are, but I'm sure he has put in, over $10 million in his own bank account based on his cut from the fighters' purses alone, let alone any other side deals he may or may not have had. This is all just speculation. So now these networks are pulling away because they're not going to pay. And what we're left with is PBC running on Showtime, which has always been an alliance. They do have the Fox Sports Toe-to-Toe Tuesdays series, which I love. So I think we'll have to wait and see, Sal. You know, I mean, what we're seeing on ESPN now is Golden Boy's deal, and I don't even know if Golden Boy's paying for it or not. But the bottom line is, you know, the fan is the one that's going to get hurt. And like I've always said, the biggest problem in the sport of boxing is the G word, greed. What do you think?
Well, like I always said, too, it's either driving forces, the greed or the need. And, you know, I think that some of these things are going to be revealed. And, yeah, the fans will get hurt. But, you know, I look at certain things at a different on a different level or perspective. And, you know, I think what was done by the PBC and Al Haymon giving us the fights on TV and everything else was a great, great just opportunity for boxing to be back on and get the national exposure that it had, that it was sustaining the interest for so many years. Now, the overall strategy, I was hoping, would have been to have the producers or having the advertisers want to continue on that pathway. Whether that's going to be true or not, you know, is being realized right now. So, you know, if it's going to result in us not having that televised boxing fight in our living rooms, well, then, yeah, fans do suffer. But maybe the intent was good, just the strategy of realizing the end result may have not been as easily adhered to follow for the positive the result.
Yeah, right? Well, I think, no, I mean, I, you know, it's, you know, unfortunately, it's something that, you know, I would much rather like to see as much boxing on TV as possible, Sal. I mean, so do you, right?
I would love to. I mean, you know, it's like the old days, you know, the 70s and 80s. We had TVs, and Saturday you had either ABC, Wide World of Sports, or CBS Sports Center, or whatever. You always had big, big fights, whether they were taking a place for a World Lightweight Championship, or Rocky Lockridge fighting in San Remo, Italy, or this one taking place here, or Roberto Duran fighting here. I mean, it was great. We had these fights, and we could plan our weekends around them, or Thursday nights, or Friday nights. Even the ESPN series. I mean, it was great. We had accessibility to all the top fights, and it was a great time.
Yeah, you know, no doubt. And I, you know, we're going to be – I'm actually working on some stuff, which I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag right now, but we're going to have some great stuff coming up soon along those lines, especially of the old, you know, old fights. But anyway, one final thought I wanted to give here, you know, actually two, and you know, we'll close it with that. First and foremost, the Canelo fight, the potential fight with Triple G. You know, if I'm Triple G, I really don't put my Easter eggs in Canelo's basket. I really don't. This guy has been playing around with Triple G, you know, making all these demands. You know, they talk about who's the A side and everything. And you know that when it comes to the real bargaining table, when they're ready to sign, he's going to, you know, play the diva role, a la Andre Ward, Floyd Mayweather, and of course Miguel Cotto. So if I'm Triple G, I think it's important to go into that gunfight with as many bullets in the gun as you can. And one more bullet that they could add is the WBO belt. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, he's going to be a bigger draw than Canelo, because Canelo obviously has the drawing power over Triple G. At least that's what we're told, and at least that's what we see from pay-per-view numbers. But I really believe that Triple G should arm himself with as much ammo as he can. And that particular belt would be one that would be an asset. Now, as far as the possibility of Billy Joe Saunders outbidding himself and making that unrealistic, well, you know, that could also be a reason why Triple G is most likely going to wait for Canelo. But the other part of this scenario is that should Canelo lose against Chavez Jr., I know that Team Canelo is going to feel that they still are worth a fight with Triple G, but that changes everything. And, you know, if I'm negotiating for Triple G, I would, you know, I would throw that loss in their face. I don't know. You know, it's like, what do you do? You know, I always remember an opportunity that I had that I blew, Sal. I had a friend of mine always gets, he's a Yankee fan, I'm a Mets fan, and he always gets tickets to a Mets-Yankees game, and sometimes it's at the Mets stadium, sometimes it's at the Yankee stadium. And when they played in the World Series a bunch of years ago, he had two options. Now, his Mets seats were always better. And he said to me, hey, what do you want? We got game one with the Yankees in the bleacher, you know, like near the, not in the bleachers, but near the bleacher, the creatures or whatever, which were good seats. I mean, not bad. It was in right field. You could see everything from the angle. But, you know, or he said game six, or I think it was game six at Mets being home, and those seats were like, you know, along the third baseline, perfect, right on the field level. And I said, oh yeah, I'll take the Mets tickets, definitely. Well, the problem, boys and girls, is I never got to game six, so I never got to go. And you know, that's seemingly what Canelo and Triple G might be facing should Canelo not get by, Chavez Jr. What do you think, Sal?
I think that was a great analogy, and I think you're now speaking from experience, and experience is a good teacher. I said all along that Canelo Alvarez can't look past his fight with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. because, you know, like you were just saying, if that cart is upset and turned over, there's going to be a whole nother way of approaching the realization of what's going to happen with Triple G, if there will be a fight with Triple G after Canelo loses to Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., if that should happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that, and I think he's got to really be successful and beat Chavez Jr. convincingly, and we'll see what happens from there. But, in a perfect world, I would love to see Triple G get the belt from Billy Joe Saunders, have all his leverage, have all his behind him, the marketing value. And then, you know, if Canelo does get past Chavez, you know, then they can sit down, then they can negotiate what's going to happen. I still think that Triple G should not put his tail between his legs and give more to Canelo than what he deserves, because like, as you and I say, Canelo needs Triple G more than Triple G needs Canelo.
Well, I mean, that's the argument, and a lot of people think that it's the other way around, but I'm with you, and I've said that. But one other thing I wanted to mention is the Keith Thurman situation with Manny Pacquiao. Again, you know, we mentioned it earlier in the show, but, you know, I feel kind of torn about this because, number one, I think that Manny Pacquiao, clearly first ballot Hall of Famer, and quite honestly, and I think you share my opinion on this, Sal, but quite honestly, I don't think there's nothing left for him to prove. And, you know, this him lingering on, you know, I had thought that maybe it was, as long as he keeps winning and people start talking about him again, that maybe he could get his rematch with Mayweather. But at this point, it looks like Mayweather's looking for the easy fight, which is the Conor McGregor, you know, circus. And it just seems that Manny Pacquiao might be just spinning his wheels in the mud, you know. So with that said, maybe it's time for Manny to pack it up, pack it in, because, you know, fighting guys like Jeff Horn in Australia isn't exactly what we want. But if Manny Pacquiao does not want to pack it in, and Manny Pacquiao does want to continue thinking he's still, relative and relevant to the division, then he needs to fight a guy like Keith Thurman. It's been a typical matchup in the sport of boxing forever, you know, youth versus experience, or age, if you will. And if Manny's going to stick around, Sal, unfortunately, he's going to have to answer the calls from guys like Keith Thurman and you know, Kell Brook and, you know, other big names in the welterweight division. What do you think?
You're right on, 100%, Bill. That's what I'm saying. The only fight that makes sense for him to come back to would be the Mayweather fight. If these guys aren't going to be serious and sit down at the table and get it on, then Manny Pacquiao is going to be subject to the rules and regulations to face whoever he wants to be in the line to earn that way back up to the top. And you know what? If Keith Thurman's the next opponent or somebody else and Manny's hanging in, then guess what? He's got to face the Piper and he's got to do it. And like I said, Manny Pacquiao, I think his best weight class was a few pounds lighter. And for him to hang on to do this, it's a fighter's personal choice and what he feels is a driver. We don't know what's in his heart, what's in his mind. All I know was what I saw when he fought Mayweather. And I was disappointed, like millions of other fans. And I don't think we're going to see Manny Pacquiao really sustain that level of where he once was on top of the game of boxing, because you're going to have all comers coming at him. And he's going to be the target. And if he wants to tout his horn and say he's the best and all this stuff, yeah, he's got to face all the other ones wanting to bring him down. But like I said, he should sit down right now and call Mayweather on the phone and say, hey, this is the intent. This is what I came back for. What are you going to do? That's it.
As long as he doesn't sing. And one last thing. I know we're done talking about, but I just throw that, Canelo, the possibility of Canelo Triple G. Don't be surprised. You know, here's the other thing, that this is why if Triple G can get a fight with Billy Joe Saunders, this is the other issue here is I don't trust Canelo. Canelo has taken on this persona. Yeah, he's taken on this persona that, you know, he likes to play games, similar to what Floyd Mayweather did to him, and you know what Andre Ward has done to Kovalev, and you know Oscar De La Hoya is trying to, you know, be this promoter who's been able to marinate and manipulate and everything else, like Bob Arum has been successful at doing, and of course Don King in his heyday. So don't be surprised if, you know, you get assuming Canelo gets past Junior, don't be surprised if all of a sudden, out of the blue, they announce that Saunders is fighting Canelo. And then all of a sudden, Canelo has a belt, and then he discredits all of the belts from Triple G. And, oh, by the way, Triple G waiting around, not fighting, assuming that he's going to fight in September. Then all of a sudden, Canelo's fighting in September against a different opponent. Now you got the move that, you know, Triple G is been on the shelf. You know, Triple G, listen, Triple G's best performances have come after he's been somewhat busy, fighting three times a year or whatever. It's the layoffs when he fights only twice a year where he doesn't look as good. So, you know, don't be surprised if there's some shenanigans going on too, Sal.
Oh, well, that's just it. You know, there could be ploys on both camps to try and do this. And you just built a beautiful scenario. I mean, what if Canelo wants to fight Billy Joe Saunders and get that belt? And that's gonna turn over the card rather quickly to see, wow, what should have been done is no longer available. So, yeah, I wish Triple G would collect that last belt and get in the ring with Saunders and beat him, and then see what happens with the future of Canelo, if he should be successful in getting past Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., which I think we're going to see a pretty good fight.
I'm looking forward to it. On this day, April 14th.
My $5 is going to go on in Vegas. My $5 bet's going to take Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Well, geez, you better hope you don't lose $5. You might bring down Vegas. On this day, April 14th in 2007, Ruslan Chagaev. You know, it's funny. At one point in time, I thought Ruslan Chagaev was the best heavyweight out there until he stepped in with Klitschko. And then it was over. But on this day in 2007, Ruslan Chagaev wins a 12-round decision over Nikolai Valuev to win the WBA World Heavyweight title. It took place in Germany. On this day in 1914, Jack Dillon wins a 12-round decision over Badalyn Levinsky to win the vacant World Light Heavyweight title. It took place in Montana. On this day in 2001, Bernard Hopkins wins a 12-round decision over Keith Holmes to retain his IBF and then win the WBC World Middleweight titles, and that took place at Madison Square Garden in New York City. On this day in 1931, young Jack Thompson knocks out Tommy Freeman in the 12th round to win the World Welterweight title. It took place in Cleveland. On this day in 2000, Gutty Espadatas wins a 11-round technical decision over Lustio Espinosa to win the vacant WBC featherweight title. It took place in Mexico. And on this day, April 14th in 1954, Jake LaMotta just decides to retire after losing a 10-round split decision to Billy Kilgore in Miami Beach, Florida. LaMotta retires with an 83 with 30 knockouts, 19 losses, and 4-draw record. He was the world middleweight champion for 2 years and was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 1990. This is a guy that's well into his 90s right now. I think he's, I know he's past 95. So Jake LaMotta, still alive and kicking, Sal. Any final thoughts, my man?
No, I think, you know, I remember I went up to that inaugural indoctrination of the Boxing Hall of Fame and saw Jake there. I saw Billy Kahn there, Willie Pep. It was a great day. And, you know what? That was the kickoff, and Boxing Hall of Fame was there to stay. You know, on what level, we'll see. But that was a great day. Final thoughts? I'll tell you. I want to say hi to Jake LaMotta and all of our fans out there. Thank you so much. But no final thoughts. I'm eager to see what happens though with this fight with Canelo Alvarez and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. That one I'm very excited about.
Well, I want to wish everybody a happy Easter.
Oh, Easter, it is, that too.
It is Easter weekend, so whatever your beliefs are, I hope you have a very happy Easter. And I urge you to make sure you tune in Monday morning. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, ciao, baby. Da na 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 na